right, good to see you today. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. If any of you did not get the spiritual gifts test material, if you'll see me or Brother Larry afterwards, anyone now in here that did not get it, raise your hand. I think they have some. Here's right up here, Brother Bill, if you can get them some, right over here. And it's just something right up front here too, Brother Bill. And this is something that you can take home with you, and you can't fail it or get a bad grade, and it won't keep you out of heaven, but it'll be something that will maybe illustrate for you, Brother Larry, right back up here, okay, Dorothy, over there. And you can do this exercise, and Brother Bill, we have one up front here, right up front here, right here. And so just something that might challenge you, and when you get your high grade, the highest one you have there, that's where your strong point is, and that's probably where you ought to get involved. Maybe more than one. There might be more than one that are equal. And so anyway, just a little something that will stimulate your mind and heart maybe in the area of service. A lot of people, believe it or not, even though they've been saved for a number of years, still have not found out or discovered their spiritual gifts for whatever reason. But today we want to talk about, as we continue living outside or living beyond your capacity, which is the series of lessons, living beyond your capacity, or living the Spirit-controlled life. How can we live the way God wants us to? We do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. You understand, when you got saved, you got all the Holy Spirit. He may not have all of you today, but that's the challenge, that we are controlled by, filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit gives us the power. God in us gives us the power to live beyond our capacity, and we will not be able to do it without having help from the Lord to serve the Lord and to do what He's asked us to do. I heard about a lady who sent out 49 Christmas cards, and she did it very hurriedly. A lot of times you do it last minute, and she did it very hurriedly, 49 different Christmas cards, and she didn't really read the message on there. She just got the cards and sent 49 out. She had one left, and so Christmas Day came around, the day before Christmas, rather, and she decided she'd look at that one card she had left. And when she looked at it, it said, just a little note to say a special gift is on its way. And she didn't realize that, so what are you going to do at the last minute? And she was in a pickle. But a gift is a good thing to have. We get our gift, the gift we need from the Holy Spirit, and they come when you get saved. When do you get those gifts? Now, there's a difference in a talent and a gift. I can tell I'm going to not have enough time to teach this lesson today. There's a difference in a talent and a gift. A lot of people have talent, but they're not saved. But when God gives you these talents and you develop them and the Holy Spirit gets in control of them, it becomes a gift that is used for the glory of God, or you have gifts more than one. And they're not always upfront gifts, but the Holy Spirit gives us these gifts and sanctifies them the moment we receive Christ as our Savior. And that's when we should start using those gifts. As I said earlier, some folks still don't understand that they have gifts or what those gifts are, or they'll say, I've had people say, well, I just don't have a gift. But you do have a gift. That's not correct, because the Bible declares that you do have at least one gift. Now, when we talk about these gifts, we're not talking about the charismatic sensationalism. So let's look at these verses just a second. Romans 12, look at verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, that's through the power of the Holy Spirit, the gift, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now these are those gifts of the Spirit that are permanent. There are some that were temporary gifts. And we don't want to get mixed up on these charismatic sensationalists who claim these gifts are still present today. And if you study it out far enough, long enough, you'll understand that some of these gifts were given temporarily, and they were primarily gifts as sign gifts to the Jewish race. It would be the great gift on the day of Pentecost of them speaking in not unintelligible utterances, but in tongues or languages. Glossolalia is the word. They spoke in languages that they had not learned and been trained in, and the miracle was people heard that, and the gospel was preached on the day of Pentecost, and people were there from all around the world that day, and they heard the gospel, and many of them got saved, and many of them went back to those areas and took the gospel with them. So we're not talking about all of these different gifts that some people would say still exist today. There are those that still handle snakes. And if you want to get into that, you go ahead and do it. But every once in a while, they'll get bit and one of them dies. They must not have had the gift, I guess. But there are those who sensationalize speaking in other languages. We don't need that today. That is not a gift for today. Raising the dead, healing the sick by having a special gift. You're the healer, and you can do it. A lot of men use that and sensationalize it on television, and they are wealthy, very wealthy, as a result of that. They get a lot of money in because of that. But these were temporary gifts, primarily so that the Jews would believe. And these were gifts that did not have the permanent edifying traits, and the ones that we speak of here do have. They last. And so we have, for instance, in 1 Corinthians 13:10, but when that which is perfect is come, when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. And so it's in the context of some of those early church charismatic gifts that were used as signs to the Jews. And you study it, and you would realize that these would be very inferior even if they were practiced today. But when that which is perfect is come, what is that which is perfect? What is that? It's the Word of God. You say, well, it means when Jesus comes back. No, it is neuter gender, and it does not refer to Jesus. It refers to the Word of God, which is neuter gender. But we have the Bible. When that which is perfect is come, we don't need those other things. They were temporary gifts for the early church, sign gifts primarily to the Jews, and to purport the gospel in the early days. Now, that doesn't mean that people that are involved in some of that, that they're not saved. It just means that they are doctrinally incorrect. And that can be dangerous. Where you're wrong in one doctrine, it's going to lead to being wrong in another doctrine. Usually, that has to do with the doctrine of saved by grace or saved by works. All of that enters into it. But I could develop that a lot more, but we don't have time today. So let's look at these spiritual gifts explained. If you have your book, and if you don't have one, if you see me, we'll try to get you one in. But we're pretty far along right now. You may not want to do that, but you can just take notes. But number one is your spiritual gifts explained. Your spiritual gifts explain. What you need to do is to learn that you have that gift and you need to serve God in the local church, the body of Christ. Again, there are a lot of people who say, well, I'm just part of the mystical body of Christ. No, when the church, the word church and the body of Christ is used in the Bible, there is a sense that there is a mystical body, but that is not totally complete. When it gets totally complete, it'll be raptured and taken out of here. But the local church is the visible body of Jesus Christ. And so it is in the local church that these gifts, and you see the context of it and many of the other things that go along with it, it certainly teaches that it is your part getting involved in your part in the local body, the local church. And so 1 Peter 4:10 says this, as every man, that's a generic type term, every man, every Christian, every woman, hath received the gift, what do you do with it? Even so, minister the gift, the same, that gift, one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You have the gift of gifts, you're to use them through the local New Testament church. And you say, well, I don't know my gift. I don't feel like I have a gift, but you are gifted. God has gifted everybody in this building with some gift. 1 Corinthians 12, 18 through 24. Listen carefully how God takes the gifts and applies the gifts as parts of your body, the human body, that are necessary for us to exist. And that's true of the local church. 1 Corinthians 12, 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He's the one that gives the gifts. And if they were all one member, where were the body? What if everybody in here was just a big eyeball? It'd be sort of a strange-looking group that had assembled together. So if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of thee. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. They all have different functions, but they're part of the same body. Nay, much more these members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. In other words, let's just illustrate it like this. If there's somebody who has a blemish somewhere and they can cover that up, they do. There are some parts that don't need that, but there may be a scar, there may be something, and that gets a little more attention because he says, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. We take a little more time with it, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. And so what he's saying is no matter what the gifts are, no matter what you are, what you do in the church, it's all important. Every bit of it is important. And so we have to recognize that it is important. Verse 24, for our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked. Think of your body. Think of those parts that don't need attention, others that do, that type thing, and the comely parts being covered up, all of that, he's saying, they're all important. Doesn't matter, they're all important in the local church, the body of Christ. Now, what do we do with these gifts? Why does God give them to us? What do we do with these gifts? 2 Timothy 1:6, wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, stir it up, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. And Paul was doing that himself to those to encourage them to use their gifts. And we are supposed to be good stewards of the gifts God's given us. 1 Peter 4:10, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So what he's saying is use your gifts or gifts to help other people out. And especially in the church family. And when we do that, other people are helped. They are helped out because we are functioning like we should. And the gospel goes out in more power. It enables the gospel to go out and more people get saved. The more the people in the church use their gifts, the end result is more people come to Christ because we use our gifts for that. So what every person needs to do is be engaged. Find out your gift of gifts and be engaged with them and let those gifts grow in the local fellowship and serve the Lord. And that's exactly what they did. If you go back and study the early church, they had their gifts, they used their gifts for the glory of God. in Acts 2:42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers, and it implies in these other areas also. So we can grow in the Lord as we use our gifts and we fully get engaged with these gifts, but primarily in the local church in order to do it. Here's the thing, if you have a gift or gifts, and you do, and you will engage in those gifts, then you will grow faster in those things and grow faster spiritually, and you will continue to grow as you use those gifts. So those are some of the spiritual gifts that God expects us to use and equips us to do it. Secondly, in your outline, spiritual gifts are described. Spiritual gifts are described. And these are summarized, as we mentioned it, in Romans chapter 12. These spiritual gifts are described. And he lists all of those gifts in those verses. Now, let's sort of look at these gifts one by one and see what he's talking about. And he talks about different gifts, and then he says, God's given them to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy. Now, what does he mean there by prophecy? Prophecy is twofold, really, in the Bible when you study it. One thing it meant was foretelling. And the other was forthtelling. Foretelling and forthtelling. And so the foretelling was whenever there would be a prophet, for instance, in the Old Testament, that would talk about future events. And he was foretelling these things are going to happen. And we know that even John on the Isle of Patmos has given us prophecy and revelation about the future. And that was foretelling. That was prophecy. But then prophecy also includes forthtelling. And primarily, whether it was an Old Testament prophet or whether it's a New Testament person, they are designed, the main purpose in the Old and New Testament was to preach the truth. And prophecy, foretelling was part of that, but forthtelling was telling the people, preaching the truth, so they would be right with God, or we might say so they would get saved. Now, today we don't need the gift of foretelling because we have the completed Word of God. The canon is complete, and cursed is anybody that adds to or takes away, especially the book of Revelation, it implies, but I think it's talking about the whole Bible. So we have the complete revelation. So what do we need today? We need people who will be involved in forthtelling. And so primarily, since we have the complete revelation, those who are involved would be those who are gifted, certainly preachers, for instance, and evangelists who get up and preach the book, and in some cases teaching. All of this is forthtelling what the Bible has already said. Prophecy has been given. The Bible canon has been completed. We don't add to it. We don't need any extra biblical visions and all that kind of thing. And we just preach the Word, teach the Word, and that is part of what he's talking about here because we have the complete revelation. And then he mentions ministry. Our ministry, let us wait on our ministering. What does he mean by ministry? Another word you could put there is the word helps. H-E-L-P-S, helps. Sometimes these are the unglamorous things that people do in the local church. They're the things that are done primarily behind the scene. Sometimes, to be sure, unappreciated. Oftentimes unrecognized, but a lot of times the people don't want any recognition. They just love serving. And they don't want to be up front. They don't need to be up front. They don't necessarily want their name put up or even listed. They just love to serve God. They want to serve anywhere they can and to serve. In Acts chapter 6, the first deacons that were set out, that's exactly what the word means. Diakonos is the Greek word meaning servant. And so deacons are not a board of controllers of the pastor. That's never been taught in the Word of God. You don't find the word board of deacons. You don't find that in the Bible. You find deacons, diakonos, helpers, those who help the, and there they help the apostles in the early church. And what was the problem? Widows were being neglected in some degree, and so they were credentialed by the church and God to go out and help, primarily to help widows and to help in any way that they possibly could and to assist and help the apostles of that day. And so the result of that were the apostles. The Bible said that they might be given, they give themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, Acts 6:4. So they would have time. Deacons are to help the pastor so he can spend more time in the Bible and study and be able to get up and articulate and preach and explain and go forth to help you with learning the scripture and to challenge our hearts with what God wants us to do. Now, the results of that taking place, deacons being appointed as helpers to the apostles, the Bible says, and the word of God increased. That's what we want, isn't it? The word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith, Acts 6:7, because of these servants who helped. And so we have people that are serving behind the scenes at Worth Baptist Church and other churches, and these people are the people that are not less important. They may be the uncomely parts that might have been described here. They're not up front and out front and all of that. But I promise you, their service is vital. It has to be done in order to get the job done. And if we didn't have people like that, I pastored 47 years, and I promise you, if we didn't have people like that in our church, in our churches, we wouldn't get the job done. Thank God for those. I could tell you some things that are being done right now by people, and you wouldn't even know who they are. But they are serving the Lord in doing that. So service is vital in ministry, just helping out in a Sunday school class, helping out to get something done. And then he mentions teaching, and we've got to hurry. Teach, that basically is having somebody that is gifted to help people understand. In other words, they love to dig in the Word. They love to spend time in the Bible, studying the Word of God. And they want to make it understandable. They want to put the cookies on the bottom shelf so everybody can get them. And that's a compliment to any preacher or any teacher if they can do that. But they are diligent in their study, and they have to be sound in their interpretation. Just because somebody says they're teaching the Word of God doesn't necessarily mean they're sound in their interpretation. It has to be taught properly. I remember going one time to a church where my father was attending at that time, and this was a popular thing where they were sitting around sort of a round table deal, and everybody talked and the teacher didn't say much. And so I sat there with them and I thought, I've never heard so much sharing of ignorance in all of my life. 30 minutes of sharing of ignorance, and then the teacher would say, well, some of y'all might be right, I really don't know myself, you know. And I thought, my soul. And that's not what it is. Somebody needs to dig in, study, know, and do it in the right context, teach it like it ought to be taught, and know how to teach the Word of God. And then there's exhortation. That's the ability that somebody has to encourage others. And boy, what a gift that is. Some people just have that gift of encouragement. Some have the gift of discouragement, but some have the gift of encouragement, and they encourage people a lot. And thank God for them. And especially somebody that's concerned with the heart of the individual. One writer said they are the fireplace pokers. They poke and encourage and try to get people going and doing the right thing, motivate others to love and serve the Lord. And then giving, that implies that you have an ability to give and the desire to do it. I have a friend that is a multimillionaire. And one day he called me up and he said, I want to come to your office. And I thought, he's going to give me some money. No, and I was hoping he would pay my house off. But at any rate, he's a great guy, and that wasn't his purpose. So he said, I want to come over. And I said, I'll be here. So about 15, 20 minutes later, he came to my office, and he laid a check down on my desk. And he said, I want to pay off the Raymond W. Barber Conference Center, $850,000 check. And I took it and looked at it. I said, wow, that's pretty. You know, that's a nice little check. I called Brother Rigsby. I said, you and I are going to take this to the bank tomorrow, and I want somebody to see it and know where it is tonight. And he paid the whole building off. And he's done a lot of other things. A wonderful person. He really doesn't. He didn't even want his picture put up. He doesn't want to be recognized. He just loves to give, and so he's giving money now that everybody can come tuition free out at Norris Bible Baptist Seminary, and that's a great blessing to those students. It really is, and he's done it now, what, two or three years, Brother Peoples, I guess, and going to continue to do that. That's good. And Romans 12:8 there says, with simplicity. The Greek word is heplotes, and it means unobtrusively. In other words, do it discreetly, inconspicuously. Don't get up and holler and wave it and tell everybody you're giving it. Just do it. It's a gift God gives you to do it. And then there's the gift of ruling. That has to do with administration. Some people are just great at organizing things, and they think strategically about the future, and they love the progress that comes because they organize and they do that. That is the gift of ruling or organization. And then there's the gift of mercy. When we feel the pain of others, especially when they're going through trials, we sympathize with them. Or we may empathize. What's the difference in those two? Empathy is when you've been through it yourself, just like they're going through it. If you lost a loved one in a tragedy and somebody else loses one, you can empathize with them. Otherwise, you sympathize. You do the best you can. But it's good to be able to sympathize or empathize with people who are having heavy burdens. And it may be going, visiting the hospitals, ministering to people. The Bible says in Romans 12:15, rejoice with them that do rejoice, weep with them that weep. And people who have the gift of mercy are able to do that. But all Christians have at least one gift. Then the third thing, quickly, spiritual gifts explained, described, and practiced. And A under that is discover your spiritual gifts. Discover them. Identify what they are. And then use them. Now, everybody can serve a little. They can do something in the local church, and everybody can maybe go to the hospital and visit someone, and everybody is commissioned and commanded to give, but some have greater abilities to do that and be specific. So Christians with those particular spiritual gifts, they have those gifts. They're better at that than anything else. They'll find those areas that come most naturally for them, and that's an important part of it. They may have greater fruitfulness as they use their natural gifts that God has given them for His glory, but we need to discover them. Now, that little test you have, go home and do that, and it'll give you your strong points and might encourage you where you can be more effective. And then develop your spiritual gifts. You say, but I'm afraid. I don't want to get up in front of people. Maybe God gives you that gift to do that. But you have to exercise it. You have to leave sometimes your comfort zone. And sometimes we don't want to do that. When I was just a kid preacher, that was tough for me to get up in front of a crowd. But I knew God had called me to preach. And so I had to leave my comfort zone and start doing it. Embrace the gift. God, remember, enables you to get it done. Develop it and use it for the glory of God. And then deploy your spiritual gift. Get involved. Plug in. Somebody mentioned earlier today that we needed workers. Somehow in the work of the children and the program they have on Wednesday night, some of you people could get involved in doing that. You have the ability. And you get bored being retired and staying at home watching the reruns. Why not get involved in a ministry somewhere? You have the gift. Take it on. Make it your challenge and do it in the body of Christ. Somebody needs that, and use your gifts to do that. And so, whether it's prophecy, mercy, encouragement, giving, administration, whatever it is, Discover your gift, deploy your gift, get it out there, and develop that gift through the local church. 1 Timothy 4:14, neglect not the gift that is in thee. Don't neglect it. Stir it up. Let the Holy Spirit stir it up, and then use it for the glory of God. Get involved somewhere doing some of these things through the local New Testament church and use your gift of gifts for Him. Father, thank You that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts whenever we are saved, and they are to be set apart, sanctified unto You. And Lord, help us not to just think about our gift or to look at our gift or to contemplate it, but help us to get involved somewhere in the local church using our gift or gifts for Your glory with the enablement of the Holy Spirit. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.